Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is St. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. The Reverend Michael Meyer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John chapter 6. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Jesus said, Have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, Gather up the leftover fragments, then nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. It doesn't take much reading of the Gospels to realize that the stories are filled with lots of little details. Sometimes they seem insignificant, but actually carry a lot of weight. Other times, you want them to seem significant, when in reality, there's not much to it. The way to tell the difference is to see how the rest of the scriptures deals with that detail and let the clear give meaning to what may not be so clear. Other times, you can simply use your noggin, that is, use your head. Take, for example, the use of locations. Sometimes you can use the location to plot Jesus on his way to Jerusalem and the cross, or to note a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Other times, we may be given a location with no clear reason why, other than the archaeological significance. Regardless, all the mentions of places and all the mentions of people in the history books, for that matter, like Pontius Pilate, well, they root us in history. You see, it's a real story. It's nonfiction. You can open up the other ancient manuscripts and pinpoint when these things happened in the scriptures. You can look at a map and you can determine where these things happened. Every year, archaeologists are finding more and more evidence to support the historical facts found in scripture. Now, just a few weeks ago, before the recent travel bans took effect, you could get on a plane and you could fly to Jerusalem. You could drive just a couple of hours then, and then walk around the Sea of Galilee. I've been told it's an amazing experience, and I hope to have the chance to visit it someday. But one place you may not see is where the feeding of the 5,000 took place. Then again, you may see it, as there is some disagreement as to where it did take place. Was it the northwest bank, or the southeast, or the southwest? Was it at the Church of the Multiplication? Well, all that really means is that there's more than one place trying to make the claim for you to visit. Now, frankly, this just helps to make this a teaching moment for us. You see, it's good to know that Jesus lived a life like ours, with sorrows and unknowns, that he breathed the very same virus-ridden air that we breathe today, and walked the very same dirty ground that's walked on today. It's foundational to our faith. Without it, we don't have Jesus, at least not the Jesus who loves you like a brother. It's good to know that Jesus cares for your well-being and that he wants you to not suffer hunger or lack. Even if we can't pinpoint the exact places where he healed all those sick or fed the 5,000. It's also good to know that Jesus died in a particular place, that he was laid to rest in the darkness of a tomb that was empty just 3 days later. These things happened in particular places at particular times, not just in a child's bedtime story, because they really happened. And sometimes it's good when we don't really know where each and every one of those places were. It's a reminder that Jesus is no longer there, at least not in the same way. He's no longer at the Sea of Galilee multiplying fish and loaves of bread. If the people that day had their way, maybe he would still be there, a bread king tourist trap of sorts. But that would mean that he wouldn't have made it to Jerusalem, and he wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have risen from that death, and he wouldn't have ascended to the Father to fill all things. These two are foundational to our faith. Without them, we don't have Jesus, at least not a Jesus who can save us. But thanks be to God that Jesus knew his time was not yet come and the place was not yet right. Thanks be to God that we do have Jesus, the one who saves, who lives and reigns to all eternity, for he has forever connected and located himself for you, not in the rocks along the Sea of Galilee, but in his word, spoken into your ears this very day, from 1333 South Kirkwood Road to the ends of the earth, Jesus goes forth in all his splendor and glory to feed you. He will not let you suffer alone. He will not let COVID-19 have the last word. As bad as it seems today, and whether or not it gets better or worse from here, well, it doesn't matter. Not really. It's not even a speed bump in his pursuit to claim you as his own, to give you a peace which the world cannot give, in the sure and certain knowledge that the challenges of this life are fleeting and the joys of eternal life are never ending. It is written that man does not live on bread alone. Given the times that we live in, maybe it should have also been written that man does not live on toilet paper alone. There may be some of you listening today wishing that he would multiply both for you. And yet even that would be a fleeting thing. It would not satisfy forever. It would not significantly add to the number of your days. But Jesus, what Jesus has promised you, will last. The bread and wine that he has attached himself to, that he desires for you to desire, is his very body and blood, multiplied across countless altars. It does not come back void, but bears fruit, 100-fold, and he himself will gather the remnants, baskets and baskets of remnants. He will gather you to himself forever. So, share your bread and your toilet paper with those who have neither, and tell them about Jesus in the process. And while you're at it, call your pastor and ask about all the ways that you can receive Jesus during these days of social isolation. And remember, you are not alone. You have Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Johanna Heidorn, who serves the Lord in the Dominican Republic. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.